This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking Greater Oahu. The lead stories are incredibly low power cost from a major solar farm making news. Android TV puts ads on your television screen at all times. Gmail will now compose or suggest your subject line. Apple has cut the price on the HomePod. I want to welcome you to episode 1358 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, April 4th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. The great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. And you too can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider by becoming an insider. I want to welcome all new listeners to the show and viewers. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking the show out for the very first time. Of course, for those of you longtime listeners, those of you that are part of the Ohana, thanks for being here. But those of you who are brand new to the show, make sure you get over to GeekNewsCentral.com and right on the right-hand column of the website, you can get subscribed to the show. Really, basically, we are where you listen to content, whether it be on Apple Podcasts, on Android. We can send it to you via email, Google Podcast, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and even just a standard RSS feed to connect to any type of podcast app, which most of them have a directory already. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, just click on the more subscribe options. We'll get you hooked up, get you connected here so you can get subscribed to the show. That way you'll never miss a single episode of the show. A little bit further down on the website is a link to the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during the show tonight. And it's also the exact same content that's going to be on the website at geeknewscentral.com. But it's nice to get that archive of links because so often I'll get an email from one of the Ohana members saying, hey, Todd, that the thing you talked about like 2 months ago, it came up at work or it came up in a discussion. I was able to go back to the email and find the link. Of course, all the data always stays on the website. So don't fret. It's always there. It'll always be there. So you can watch this show on the Apple TV. You can listen on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by telling the keyword to launch that device to listen to you and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. While we are live, while I'm here in Hawaii, we are at live.geeknewscentral.com. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Twitch. We're on Mixer. Really just about everywhere on social media. Of course, you can join our chat room as well. Our chat room is a Mastodon chat server at geeknews.chat. You can join and be part of the cool kids and hang out and chat, or you can join our Slack channel. All you got to do is send me an email. Let me know that you want to be part of our Slack channel. You can contact me via email, geeknews@gmail.com, or on Twitter at geeknews. And of course, you can follow me on Facebook. Partner shows, again, are available all linked up at the Geek News Central pod, geeknewscentral.com. And that includes the GNC Week in the Review with Kirk Corliss, the Gadget Presser with Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site written by my team. And matter of fact, we're going to start seeing some new articles pop in there as we're getting close to NAB for next week. The New Media Show with myself and Mr. Rob Greenlee, and the Podcast Legend Show, which hopefully, once I get moved back to the mainland, we'll be able to start that again. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Now, this show would not be possible without our good friends at GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been with us since June of 2005. We are here in April already, and the deals are, of course, online and available. Whether it be a 30% new product purchase, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, a 99cent.com, or our most incredible hosting deals where it's $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain for the first year, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. Now, let me tell you, the managed WordPress hosting is really slick because they're going to keep the site updated. They're going to keep it backed up. They're going to make sure you don't get hacked. That managed WordPress hosting is absolutely one of the best products they've got over at GoDaddy. So definitely you can score those deals by cutting and pasting the promo code and copying it and then pasting it at checkout or just clicking on the link. Now, don't forget, we've got that 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. All these codes lock in the best savings that are available on GoDaddy on products and services. The 30% code is the most underutilized code that from this audience. You guys get it on the hosting plans. You're locked in. But that 30% off, GoDaddy has more than hosting. Now, many times you'll see that when you're checking out to say, would you like to add this, add this, add this? Say, no thanks, no thanks, no thanks. But they've got mailing list software. They got e-commerce packages. They've got virtual dedicated servers, all kinds of cloud options, lots of stuff available. And that 30% discount code will save you cash. Now, here's something interesting. I don't make any money anytime you use that 30% code. That's kind of a freebie for you. So I get credit when you use the buy a domains and when you pick up those any type of hosting account. So, but we want you to still use it. We still want you to save money. So definitely check all that out. Available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want to thank GoDaddy for their longtime support of this show and being part of our Ohana and really allowing me to do what I do. All right. So lots of stuff tonight to really chit chat about as this week has been, man, crazy, crazy week. I've had a couple of moving companies in here and one of them sent me back the bid. Now, if you remember correctly, I told you that for about $6,500 plus the trucking here in Hawaii to get the 20-foot dry container here, I think I would have about $7,000 in getting my stuff back to the mainland. And I figure I've got about 6,000 pounds of stuff five to 6,000 pounds of stuff I'm going to ship. And every one of the people that have been in here said, oh yeah, you won't fill a 20-foot container. He said, you might get 2/3 of it filled, but you're not going to fill it. And then they come back with their price, $10,500, $11,200. It's just like, yes, I'm pretty assured at this point we will be loading the container here come the end of May. So that's what's been going on. I got to work on insurance because if you didn't know this, transit insurance is $6 a pound. So, you know, I was talking with the guy and I said, well, you know, that camera right there is $2,700. He says, well, how much does it weigh? I said, well, in the box, it might weigh 5 pounds. He says, yep, we'd give you $30 if that was damaged. Like, you've got to be kidding me. So that's my next go here is to make sure I have enough insurance because let's be frank. You guys know what's in the studio. You know how much stuff is here, including all the stuff that we use for the portable studio and all that. And then to replace that, it'd be devastating. So I have to have replacement cost insurance. And the only folks that do that kind of insurance is like Lloyd's of London. And you just tell them the number. You give them an inventory on the stuff that you, the high value items, and you write the check. But I just cannot risk not putting insurance on this, even if it's $2,000 or $3,000. It's just, that's the way it's going to have to be. And taking into account, you know, how much these folks want to pack me up and move me compared to me packing myself up, I have to get the insurance anyway. Yeah, I'm going to do it my way. So I think we're, unless someone comes in with something insane, something within like $1,000 of the actual mats and trailer, I still have to get the insurance. It's about $1,000 is my threshold to make it worth it. Other than that, no, we'll load it and do it ourselves. So anyway, that's what's going on. Now, I wanted to just talk just a little bit here. As I said on the last show, I talked about a little bit about Ohana appreciation. And for those of you that have been with us, and if you think about going back to the very, very early days of the shows, you know, we've been here in the studio since 2007. And, you know, the show started in 2004 and we were on historic Ford Island for really the first, you know, 2 to 3 years of the show and 3 years, the first 3 years of the show before we moved here. And I think back to those early days and all the folks that were part of the listening family of this show who were very, very interactive. We had lots of interesting characters that were emailing and leaving comments, and the audience, even in those early days, were more interactive than what you all are today. And if you guys think back to Sal, the gentleman that was in New York, for those of you that remember that, he would send me, scathing emails, not in a scathing, but he'd pushing back a little bit and testing me and pushing back and forth. And, in the early days, I was a complete PC house. So I was a Windows guy. So I got accused so many times of talking about Windows only and not talking about Mac. And when I was talking about Mac, I was talking smack about Mac. And now how things have changed. We're almost an entire, the TriCaster and the audio recorder are still on Windows, but pretty much everything else is Mac-based here, including the Ohana Source back here where we bring people in for interviews, and it's usually just for the new media show. Now, that's all going to change because I've got grandiose ideas of once things get moved and we are able to do some cooler stuff with some green screens and all that. So you as a Ohana, too, if you think about all the volunteers that have come out over the years, Jack coming to CES for many, many years, Michael Dare, the list, there's a long list of people that came and really helped with the show. And oftentimes there was very little I could do besides maybe feed them. Oftentimes folks paid for their own hotel rooms, paid for their own airfare. When we really had, no budget. And so the Ohanas, when I talk about that as part of this family here, this show would not be the way it is without you guys. You help carry the load in the early days, just like a regular family member helps carry the load on stuff. And, you look at some of our super Ohanas, some of the folks that, all the album art, that you see in tweets that I did just before the show started, or what's in the album art of the 83 tags, Sam, our good friend, a hardcore Ohana member out in Albuquerque, he's done a huge amount of album art for the show. And his son is came to Vegas with us, and did camera work for CES one year. Then, one of my cousins came, and it goes on and on and on and on. Actually, second cousin, not direct cousin, second cousin. And so really, when we talk about the support of this entire family, it's greatly, greatly appreciated. And, we're now starting to get ideas come in. Folks are sending me information about what we should do with the new studio. So you guys are having some, some input to that. One thing I got to be looking for here soon is a company to do a sign for the building, the studio we're going to be in. I did some calls around and talked to, because bandwidth is a concern, and bandwidth is not going to be near as cheap as it is here. To get I think we're going to be able to get 50-50. The key is the upload speed. That's my critical part. But that's probably going to come in at like $249 a month. But I have to sign a 3-year contract. So I'm trying to wheel and deal with the group saying, hey, I can't sign a 3-year contract. Can we do this on a 1-year contract? So is it going to go up more? Am I going to have to pay installation costs? Who knows? But I think and then there'll probably be a second connection there where we have stuff for the office. So lots of things moving and, in not necessarily all related to those of you that listen to the show that are part of the Ohana here, but I'm going to try to make it as much as the process as possible as we're packing things up, as we're loading it, as the container leaves and all this stuff and the journey that starts for this transition for this show, you guys are going to be along for it. And a big part of it. And at some point later this year, we'll probably have a big party. And if those of you that want to come to the new studio, we'll set a date, and it's not going to be like this super mega thing, but we're going to have something. We'll have a little, have a party, and those of you that want to come in from out of state can do so. and hang out, and we'll try to bunk as many people as we can at the time. Might not be able to bunk a lot, but there's pretty cheap hotels where I'm headed. So hopefully that some of you will want to come out and be part of the coronation of the new space. And maybe we'll make it half fun, half work. Who knows? Just kind of in the back of my head, I'm thinking up some ideas because you guys have helped throughout the years. I want to extend that as we move into this transition. You know, one thing I was talking about is one concern I have is when I go into this new space, I have, you know, all this stuff is going to be there. And it's a commercial space. You have to have security, cameras and stuff. But, you know, if we have a situation where someone comes and does a glass bash and does a dash run and grabs and, you know, and rips stuff off, you know, a lot of damage, a lot of money can be lost in a hurry. So, you know, I'm coming up with ideas on how we can cage gear and make it much more difficult for someone that if they did bust in, they might get a few monitors and stuff like that, but the core stuff to the company is going to be in a cage and much harder to get in, take them longer to break through the security alarm's going to be going off. So they're going to be on the clock. So that kind of stuff I'm thinking about as we move into a different space. And I got to, we're going to go low tech on some of this just to keep budget in check, but it's going to be fun. And I think that while we're not going to have a garage effect, I'm going to try to make it as kind of cool and, you know, interactive as possible. So, lots of things to think about. And if you guys are thinking about ideas and, you know, Michael and Jack, you guys know how I'm anal on security and securing gear and stuff like that. You know, that's the type of level that I'm going to have to go to. Not that I'm going to say someone's going to bust down the door, but when you're in a commercial space, you are then have a lot more higher visibility, and you can become the target of someone that's, you know, looking to, bash and grab some stuff. So anyway, that's it for now. But maybe you guys come up with some ideas. How can we lock up laptops and, you know, items like that, that will be able to be put away at close of business when we're in the new studio. Okay. So let me go ahead and, get into the stack here, get into the content, because I've talked a long time, but it's important. This is part of our transition to doing what we're going to do. And I hope that you guys are along for the ride with me on this. I know some people come strictly for the content, but the show is what the show is. And my son just texted me, and we'll get him a reply. And then I will, yes, I did. Okay, so Idaho has announced a record. Idaho Power have announced record low price for power from solar farm. They secured a 20-year deal to buy power from a 120-megawatt solar farm being built by a company called Jackpot Holdings for $21.75 per megawatt hour. Now, what that boils down to, that makes the price less than 2.2 cents per kilowatt hour. Now, if they're buying it at 2.2 cents and then whatever markup they put on it, that is amazing. Because here in Hawaii, we're paying 36, 37, 38 cents a kilowatt. And even with 32 solar panels on my roof, with the electric vehicle hooked up front, my electric bill is still running about $100 now. So that means I'm burning off about 1200 kilowatt hours a month that the solar is producing. And so generally what I'm saving already by having the solar on my roof, if I'm using Hawaii prices, is about $400-$450 that I'm not having to absorb anymore. My solar system has completely paid for itself. It's been on the roof long enough that we're ahead, but I'm still got enough power being consumed over what it creates because of the electric vehicle that I meant, you know, I'm paying 36 cents a kilowatt hour. So when I hear, and those of you that are in the lower 48, the continental United States, your power is probably anywhere between 8 and 15, 16 cents. Depends if you're getting coal, if you're on geothermal, or it really, there's a variety of things that drive your price. But if they're able to buy power at 2.2 cents per kilowatt, and if they are able to pass on some of these savings. Now, it's solar, so that means it's daytime, that's it. That's amazing. Now, I thought, how can they do it that cheap? So, the price isn't a perfect reflection of solar power costs, because Jackpot Holdings was able to subsidize their build by the Solar Investment Tax Credit, ITC, which is set to begin phasing out in the coming years. But industry watchers and investors tweeted that without the ITC, without the federal government's tax credits, he estimated the per kilowatt for the project would be about 3 cents per kilowatt, which is still extremely short. Now, 2 years ago, the Department of Energy announced that the average utility grade solar project in the United States had hit 6 cents per kilowatt. So if you add markup on that, what's it going to deliver to you? 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 cents to you, because the companies have to make money. They get the infrastructure costs, all of that. But if 3 cents per kilowatt solar price, which is being created in the Middle East, can be replicated like it is with this company here in the United States, I think we're about to see a lot more solar. Now, the real question is, can they go to scale on this? And then what do they subsidize in the evening? Because the goal is on some of these power providers to get off coal. So in Idaho, what do you have? In Idaho, you have sun and not a lot of other stuff that can be used. So they're still going to have to use some form of steam turbine power generation. So does that mean for part of the day they're on solar, then part of the day they're on coal? That's the question that remains, or natural gas. Now, I'll be honest with you. I wish that we had more nuclear power in the United States. I know a lot of people are not fans of it, but let's be frank. That is a serious power generation source, is when you go nuclear. When people can't charge their cell phones, their opinions will change on nuclear. All right, this one's going to really, as a matter of fact, I'm waiting for this to pop up on my TV. I've got a Sony 60-inch, or is it 70? It's a 60 or 70-inch screen TV. I think I paid around $1,700 for it. We've had it on the wall now for maybe 3 years, maybe 2 years. I don't remember when we bought it, but it's got Android TV. And so far, I've been very pleased with Android TV, because I can select YouTube TV, we can select Netflix, we can go on Amazon Prime, if the kids want to watch something free from Crackle, it's really got everything we need where we don't really have to use a secondary device. Matter of fact, I disconnected all the devices underneath the television cabinet, because, you know, we're looking at all that stuff, and I'm like, that's just using electricity. We don't need that anymore because it's all built into the TV. And then today I hear that the Android TV update puts home screen ads on your multi-$1,000 Sony smart TVs, or TVs that are running Android TV. So Google's trying a new pilot program. I own the TV. You're going to put ads in front of me on my TV in the home screen? I'm going to be forced to see sponsored content on there to begin with? But this pilot program puts a whole row of advertisements on the Android TV that is near impossible to remove. XDA Developers was the first to report on the new build, saying, "We're currently seeing reports that it has shown up in Sony Smart TVs, the MyBox 3, and the Xiaomi NVIDIA Shield TV, and others. This advertising is a sponsored channel, part of the Android TV Core Services app that ships with all Android TV devices. A channel in Android TV parlance means an entire row of thumbnails in the UI will be dedicated to sponsored content." Google provided XDA developers with a statement saying that, yes, this is on purpose, but for now, it's a pilot program. Sony, now imagine, I bought a $1,700 TV to be able to have the ability to cut the cord and then pay for some services like YouTube TV, Netflix, a variety of things. And now I'm going to be forced to have sponsored content on the main page. Sony has a tersely worded support page detailing the sponsored channel. There's no mention here of it being a pilot program. Sony's page titled "A Sponsored Channel has suddenly appeared on my TV home menu." This change is included in the latest Android TV launcher app. The purpose is to help you discover new apps and content for your TV. Sony goes on to say this channel is managed by Google and the sponsored channel cannot be customized. So basically says that tough deal with it. Buying a product knowing it has ads in it is one thing. But to all of a sudden be shoveled ads at us and being patched into our devices is absolutely another situation when we have paid multiple thousands of dollars for 4K Sony TVs. Someone's working on a workaround to try to disable this, but they're saying they're not having much luck. So what say you? What say you about the Android TV and all of a sudden now having sponsored content in the middle of your paid for television? Let me go back here. James says, "I missed the part of the solar conversation. What about Tesla roofs? Are you saying utility scale is where it's going to be? Or would I still want to consider a Tesla roof?" No, Tesla roofs are going to be ka-ching. Most people don't need a Tesla roof unless you're rich. Just put regular solar panels on. And it depends on where you live. If you live somewhere where there is, you know, you have to, number one, you got to figure out what the sun footprint is for your home. I'm in the highest category there is. I have the best sun print impression. In other words, from the time the sun comes up to the time the sun goes down, I get maximum exposure on my solar panels for peak power creation. And depending on where you are in the hemisphere, where you live, we'll give you a rating. I think the highest is a 6 and the lowest is a 1. And what that really means is being that I have a 6, my panels, my 32 panels will produce 11 to 1200 kilowatt hours a month, depending on rain and clouds and all that stuff. Maybe as high as 1270 or 1300 kilowatts, really on a perfect month. But if you are in an area where there is a 3, if you're rated a 3, you may need 60 panels on your roof to have the equivalent amount of power being generated. And it also depends on where you live, the winter, the whole nine yards. So you really have to have an analysis done where you live. I don't see the Tesla roofs. You know, my 32 panels cost $36,000 and my payback with tax incentives was 3 years and 6 months. That's when was even money. And we recently hit even money with my system. So you have to really look at the payback. Most people in the United States, they don't have this nice sun footprint. You might be on a 10-year payback to get your money all the way back. It also depends on your utility. Here, I'm on a grandfathered clause where I get a one-for-one credit. In other words, they give me a kilowatt and then I give them a kilowatt, it's zeroed out. In some municipalities, if you take a kilowatt from the provider and you push a kilowatt back, you may only get credit for half a kilowatt. So you have to look at your local municipalities and what the value is. It may mean, it may be more smart, is that, or maybe smarter for you to have a solar system that feeds a battery that then feeds your house in the nighttime during peak power usage hours, you know, from like 5 until 9 p.m. And get a, you know, and drive the, you know, go on that lower kilowatt rate when you're on peak power. It might be smarter to do that than pushing power back into the grid, which my system does. You know, I active, when I had an analog meter, the meter actually spun backwards, taking the kilowatt hours off. It was a beautiful thing to watch. And then when they put the smart meter on, then it showed me how much comes in, how much is going out, and a trade-off. And I get a statement every month that says, here's your plus minus balance. Before we had the electric vehicle, we were always plus. I was a plus about, by the end of the year, about 1,200 kilowatts. So what we'd do on our anniversary month is I'd go over to the neighbor's house. We'd run an extension cord over there because they wouldn't give me any money. I didn't get no money back for excess kilowatt push to the utility. So I powered my neighbor's house for a month. And let him draw my balance down so that at the end of the month we were at 0-0, nothing gained, nothing lost. So, but the Tesla stuff, you have to look at the cost of that. That's really, I have a feeling those are very, very expensive roofs. So, but if you're going to put a new roof on your house, like I am, you know, you've already got $10,000-$12,000 in new roof costs. So, you know, maybe the additional $20,000, or maybe the system would be $30,000 originally with a regular solar panel. Now it's $40,000. Maybe it makes sense. But I guess it depends on whether you're ready for a new roof. And is that solar Tesla solar panel going to be rated for 20 or 30 years? And generally, solar panels are good for 20 with decreasing power every year, decreasing efficiency. Moving on here, Gmail Smart Compose will now suggest an email subject based on what you've written. We know that Google can now automatically suggest stuff as you're writing in the base of the actual document, but now it will suggest a subject line as you're writing your actual text in the body. And Google says it can cut down the effort it takes you to write emails and replies. We are going through my company, Raw Voice. Blueberry is going through a little issue with Gmail right now. And my faith as a corporate user of Google is at a breaking point. I'm very close to switching off their services. Matter of fact, I am now on one of our email addresses. I'm now on Azure and Office 365. We've moved some stuff off of Gmail, and there's a long story to it, but let me just say that Google can hurt you in a big, big way if their artificial intelligence applications all of a sudden decide that for some unknown reason that you aren't a good email user, even though you've been a perfect email user. I won't get into too much details, but all I can say is they have us in the penalty box for no reason. And all their tools say, oh yeah, you're a good citizen. You've got the highest score possible on email and not sending spam and all this stuff. And it's not pretty. It really, really isn't. And their engineers are like, we're calling them every day. Every day we're calling them. We have been for like the last 3 weeks. It's not pretty. So my faith in Gmail as a corporate user has dropped about 95% over the past 3 weeks. It's not good. So little chinks in the armor, this Gmail Smart Compose. I don't know if I trust them anymore with any of this. Anybody else have any problem with Gmail in the corporate version, mapping your email, your domain to their, you know, their Google Apps services? Love to hear from you if you have. All right, Apple has cut the price of the HomePod worldwide, now $299. Isn't that interesting? It went from $349 to $299. It's only a 15% drop in price, but it has been dropped in every region. So, for example, the price in the UK has fallen from £319 to £279. And we know it's rare for Apple to reduce the price of any of its products mid-cycle, but Apple dropped the price of third-generation Apple TVs from $99 to $69 in March of 2015. But here's the thing. Have they got excess stock? You know, I have one over here, right over here, and the stupid thing starts to play once in a while on its own. I'll be honest with you. Worst product Apple has ever created. It sounds beautiful if you just want to listen to some music, but it's as dumb as a box of rocks. It really is. I thought Siri was stupid on your phone. It doesn't get any better on the HomePod. And, you know, they've had some software updates, but I'm just still not a fan of the HomePod. If you've got $299 to burn, I would say go out and buy a 2 A-L-E-X-A's, additional ones for your house, and hook them to some nice speakers or maybe a Sonos system, something to that effect. All right, switching gears here. Google employees to set the tone on diversity more than the management does, supposedly. Search giant's incremental progress still passes a win for Silicon Valley. So they have some minimally good news. In 2018, women constituted 32.2% of new hires, up a bit from 31.3% the year before. The company also hired more Black and Latino workers, though the gains were less dramatic. Black hires were up 4.8% from 4.1%, and Latino hires were up from 6.8% to 6.3%. The bad news is that the marginal improvement passes as progress in Silicon Valley, where their workforce is overwhelmingly white, Asian, and male. At Google, almost half of new hires are white and 43.9% are Asian. So what would be more interesting is if they broke down all these categories of who they've hired and where they have put people in what positions. I'd like to see that as a statistic, but I don't think we'll ever see that. But of course, Googlers have been trying to be more proactive and encouraging the company to be more diversified. And we know that they've sent several letters to management over the years. And of course, Google has said it would require temp companies to provide its workers with full benefits, including healthcare, and of course, a $15 minimum wage and paid parental leave. Again, these are for temps. People that aren't actually working for Google, but work for a contractor that essentially works for Google. What else have they got to say on this? Apparently, the walkout last year was effective, and Organize said it highlighted a key failing in the company's diversity effort. And of course, they made some demands during that walkout. But that's the latest and greatest from Google's diversity program. You know, I think too, as a business owner, you know, what I'm looking for is the best candidate. And I'm small, you know, we don't have a lot of employees. So we're in a hunt right now for a graphics developer. And we wrote the job description of what we are looking for. And we've got our candidate list has grown pretty good. I think we're going to start interviewing next week. And I think we've got seven or eight candidates, varying levels of, you know, of skills. We're using this tool. Let me talk about this for a second. It's really, really awesome. Let me look here if I can find it. Where here? Okay, so it's called Breezy, B-R-E-E-Z-Y. Awesome, 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 awesome product. It basically brings in all the resumes and you can, as a team, make comments, and we do our hiring as a team because we're small enough we can do that. And every, you know, like four or five of us are weighing in and making comments, looking at the resume, looking at their portfolio and all this stuff. So we have a pretty good idea, you know, at least our paper thoughts on a candidate. And, you know, some things I saw that, you know, would, for me was interesting was two of the candidates that were looking at speak Spanish. So I thought, well, and of course I made that as a comment. This is fantastic. This candidate speaks Spanish. They also meet our other requirements. So for me, we're always looking for the best candidate. I don't care if it's a male, female, and we'll see what we end up with. But the breadth, you know, I try to match the job, you know, we're small enough. We have to get a tight fill, and yet at the same time, find someone that has a cool personality. And you know, there's hiring rules or stuff you can't ask. You cannot ask their age, their marital status, all that stuff. That is against the law. You can't ask that. But certain things you see in a resume, you derive. So it's just based on, you know, looking at their websites, and sometimes they put their picture up and all that stuff. So for me, I focus on, you know, what this person brings to the table. And Google is so big. I understand how they probably have trouble maintaining a diverse workforce and finding candidates that qualify to fill job positions. I don't know. How do we fix this in this country? I don't know if we do, because, you know, it's tough. And, you know, I'm lucky. We've got a really, you know, we've just gotten lucky and have a really diverse group. I didn't set out to have a diverse workforce, but we just got lucky and have one. And it's important too, because different perspectives, different voices that, and different ideas that are brought back to the team that I'm like, I didn't think about that way, where another team member has. So, and diversity in workforce is good, but there's not always a perfect fit. Hey, Chris, thanks for watching. Appreciate it. And when we get to the mainland, we're going to be much earlier doing the show. All right, moving on here. House Democrats refuse to weaken net neutrality bill and defeat GOP amendments. So really what this is the Dems have rolled back, and basically it's a Save the Internet Act in a 30-22 party line committee vote. And of course, the bill is short and simple. It would reinstate the rules implemented by the Federal Communication Commission underneath Chairman Tom Wheeler in 2015, reversing the repeal led by the FCC of the new chairman. But with the Senate being GOP controlled, this is going nowhere. It really, really is not. Unless someone decides across the aisle here, it's, you know, they've got some talking points for the election. But, you know, it's, I think in my opinion, a lot of wasted time at this point, but, that's not what politics is. Politics is not always about saving time and being efficient. All right. Elon Musk has ordered to work things out with the SEC over his tweets. He was in court today and he sat stoically in the Manhattan courtroom. His hands clasped in front of him as a federal judge weighed whether to hold him in contempt. The proximate cause was a tweet Musk sent in February that the Securities and Exchange Commission argues violated the terms of their settlement. And he basically talked about car production, in which he should not have. Now, this is the challenge when you have a world where everyone lives on social media and Facebook, and you're a CEO of a publicly held company, and you're making statements about how things are going at the company when it's not come out an official earnings call. It's very, very, very bad. I would have a very hard time being the CEO of a public company because I like to talk about stuff too much. And I would probably be in the same boat Elon Musk is. I would be sitting in probably, well, I don't have the stature of Elon Musk for sure, but I would probably be sitting in some courtroom with the SEC breathing down my neck as we, as I would have talked about something I shouldn't in a podcast. So, anyway, it's, they've been told to go work it out and take a breath and go work it out. All right. I'm just going to remind all of you, there's some ongoing DNS hijacking that's targeting unpatched consumer routers. If you have a D-Link DSL 2640B, 2740R, 2780B, 526 Bravo, you need, please go and read this article and update your D-Link's software. All right. So lots of stuff going on here with those routers. Matter of fact, if you can afford it, throw that router in the trash and go get another one. But anyway, again, D-Link routers. If you have a D-Link router, please make sure, because you might be adding to the problem out there. All right. Amazon has thrown its hat in the ring and they want to launch thousands of internet satellites. They want to launch, again, thousands of low Earth orbit satellites to offer internet connection across the entire planet, what they're calling Project Kuiper. It aims to deploy 3,236 satellites to cover areas where about 90% of the globe population lives. Details otherwise are scant so far, including the estimated timeline, how much the project will cost. And so anyway, this made the latest news. Now, of course, SpaceX Starlink network, which is said to going to comprise of 12,000 satellites when it's complete. And of course, OneWeb launched its first 5G satellites in February. So this is a new initiative to launch a constellation of low Earth orbit satellites to provide low latency, high speed broadband connected to unserved and underserved. What do you think that's going to cost? Amazon said it would build 12 ground stations around the world to move the data. So, of course, Jeff Bezos in Blue Origin is helping Telesat deploy that company's network of internet-connected satellites using their heavy-lift New Glenn rocket. So lots of mini satellites are going to be up there helping us stay connected. You probably never notice it, but there's a new... video codec. Samsung has published something called the HDR 10 Plus as a viable and accessible alternative to Dolby Vision HDR. Now, you've all been in movie theaters and seen Dolby Vision and heard, you know, the Dolby sound and all that stuff. But Dolby charges a license for all of that. It's very expensive. Big money. But the HDR 10 battle between Dolby and HDR10 has really been going on for years. Both of these standards use a dynamic metadata to adjust brightness on a scene by scene or frame by frame basis. And it just makes stuff darker, makes stuff brighter, tries to make it more realistic to what the artists think that the picture should have looked like. But the difference is HDR10 is free. It's royalty free. And the partners behind it have opened a licensing and certification logo program to other TV manufacturers. This, I would not want to own stock in Dolby at the moment. This could be a big impactor. Pandora is now highlighting trending music as a playlist and Sirius XM station. I'm actually having a meeting with Pandora next week. It should be fun. But it's been several months since SiriusXM purchased Pandora for $3.5 billion. And now we're finally getting a glimpse of how the satellite radio company plans to use its new toy. SiriusXM and Pandora announced Pandora Now, a new feature that will highlight popular and trending music for listeners on both platforms. Available starting today, Pandora Now will have a dedicated channel on SiriusXM. And Pandora Premium members will get to listen to Pandora Now as an interactive station complete with song skippings and thumbs up and down ratings as a curated playlist. So we'll see. You know, I'm going to be going back to where SiriusXM is available. I can't see any, you know, the only, I do like to listen every once in a while. I haven't listened to Howard Stern in maybe 5 years. It's probably the last time I heard Howard Stern. And I'm sure he's the same, you know, same format as before. And if you get Sirius XM, what does it even cost a month? Is it worth it? And I'm a huge, huge podcast listener, but the only reason I would get Sirius XM would be to listen to Stern. But I don't know. I'm kind of over it. So I know a lot of truck drivers get Sirius. Long haul, you know, people that are driving and doing deliveries and that kind of stuff do it. Do you have Sirius in your car, or are you listening to podcasts? What are you folks listening to these days? You still listening to the radio? You know, podcast was supposed to kill the radio star, right? Twitter has stopped blocking French government's ad campaign. Basically, the French were trying to do some promoted tweets talking about some voting that was coming up, and encourage voter registration and urge people to use the ballot box. And they definitely were being blocked because Twitter's automatic shutdown functions for political stuff affected them. So they're back in action. All right. So this is one thing I'm probably going to bite the bullet on. HBO is now available as a premium add-on through the Roku channel. Stream everything from Game of Thrones to Westworld. Of course, when is the next season of Westworld going to come out? The Roku channel has added HBO to its list of premium subscriptions. It's got a 7-day free trial. And after that, it's going to cost $14.99 a month. It's the same exact price as HBO Now, the standalone package, and then the HBO add-on and other streaming platforms like Hulu and Amazon Prime Video. Timing is perfect because what's coming? Winter is coming on April 14th, right? So you can get HBO subscription. I'm going to pony up for it because we got to watch Game of Thrones for sure. So, HBO, come on, give us a deal. $9.99. All right. Amazon is working on a Alexa powered AirPod competitor. Just what we needed, right? To be talking to that device. So how is this going to work? So the online reader is still working on its own true wireless earbuds. It will be its first Alexa wearable. Details are scarce for now, but Bloomberg source says, although Amazon's version will be similar to the AirPods in terms of both general design and features, this company is offered to offer better audio quality than Apple, of course. So anyway, we'll see here. But, you know, I'll tell you about the new AirPods. I told you guys I ordered them, right? They're supposed to get 2 hours of talk time. No way. Not getting 2 hours. I'm getting about maybe an hour 20. Maybe before they start. They don't even warn me. They kind of just start dropping out. So I'm not getting 2 hours of talk out of the new AirPods. No way. The other version got me about 50 minutes or so. So I love these things so much. I'll be honest with you. They are great noise suppression. It's fantastic. I can have them in the car. People do not know that I'm driving. They have no clue. And they're that good. So very few earbuds, any type of wireless is able to cut out road noise completely, but these come as close as possible. But Amazon said they're working on their own deal. Another review of one of my favorite Windows laptop, the Dell XPS 13 review. It's another review from the folks at Engadget, or it's one from Engadget. They gave it a score of a 93. I'll let you go through and read that yourself. Again, I love that particular Windows-based laptop. It's really nice. Now, Microsoft made an announcement today that their next update, they're basically going to allow you, they're not going to shove it on you like they have been. They're going to allow you to explicitly choose if you want to update the device, and they can pause updates for up to 35 days. So because what they've done is they've bricked a bunch of machines, caused a bunch of stuff to screw up. So for enterprise folks, this is really important. They can delay the updates, make sure there's nothing going on in the weird in the space, and then kick it 10 or 15 days later. So that's a big change coming here. So there's Microsoft has produced a an article improving the Windows 10 update experience with control quality and transparency. Microsoft, you're the ones that need to fix the quality, okay? This is a big news here. CNN Business is saying MIT has suspended ties with China's Huawei and ZTE. They've said the move followed a new review of international projects or partnership that pose an elevated risk. MIT is not accepting new engagements or resuming existing ones with Huawei and ZTE or their respective subsidiaries due to the federal investigation requiring violations of sanction restrictions. Maria Zuber and Richard Lester, the university's vice president for research and associate provost, respectively sent a letter to the school community on Wednesday. The administrator said that the university determined that working with certain countries, particularly China, Russia, and Saudi Arabia, merit additional faculty and administrative review beyond the usual evaluations. Mm-hmm. Just like that Chinese woman that was caught and down in the presidential second White House or whatever they call that thing, walking around with 5 cell phones, a laptop, and 2 USB sticks with malware, headed to the pool. Yeah. You talk about some espionage going on here, in my opinion. We haven't heard too much about that, have we? But sounds like China was looking to infiltrate and infect the network down there. So good job on the Secret Service for rolling her up. But yeah, when you're going to the pool, you better have a swimsuit and a towel. All right, Verizon's 5G network, where they could find it in Chicago. Yes, they had trouble finding it. They were able to get on it with a, I guess, the one smartphone that supports it. And get this, 573 megs down. So that's cool. What were they getting for upload speeds, did they say? They didn't say what the upload speed was. He says his tests directly conflict. I visited both Chicago Theater and Chicago Art Institute, and there was no 5G signal to be found. Same goes for Millennium Park. So he basically had to cover a lot of ground to actually find it. Oh, so 573 down, 28 up. For in different tests, he was varying between 573 and 410 and everywhere from 28 to 10 megs up. That's still really impressive, but most of them were about 20 up. But the question is, how much bandwidth do you get to actually use on that? You know, you can burn it up. You can burn your bandwidth up. Well, if you can find it. All right, last couple articles here tonight. WhatsApp is now out for business. There's a WhatsApp business app. It's now available for the iPhone. So I don't know what the difference between the WhatsApp and the WhatsApp business version is, but the iOS version, like its Android counterpart, is designed to help small business owners reach the customers on smartphones. So, okay. Anybody using WhatsApp business on Android? Love to hear your thoughts on this. All right, finally today, we have any doctors in the house? Calling a doctor. Yes, a doctor report to Geek News Central. The New York Times has got an article talking about drug sites are upending doctor-patient relations, and it's a restaurant menu of medicine delivery. And specifically, there's a site called HIMS, H-I-M-S, HIMS, and HERS, that are basically making it easy and embarrassment-free to access erectile dysfunction and libido pills. Is there such a thing as a truly libido pill? So The site Roman, R-O-M-A-N, pun on words there, Romance, Roman and Hers, as well as others, are now obtaining lifestyle drugs for sexual health, hair loss, anxiety, nearly as easy as ordering online. And it really goes on to basically, this company, it looks to me as like headed for some serious FDA issues but you go online and so you fill out their questionnaire and quote unquote, supposedly a doctor reviews the information that you have provided, whether it be true or not, and decides what, of course, you know, if you go to your doctor, you can lie to your doctor too, right? So I guess lying online and lying to your doctor in person to get ED pills are probably about the same. Might be a little harder for a 20-year-old to convince a doctor that, though. But, you know, online, I guess a 20-year-old can get away with that because they can laugh and fill this out to begin with. But anyway, they're basically, looks like they're prescribing pills. One of anti-anxiety, really? What is that? Is that it's called ADDYI? Is it for men or is it for women? Oh, it's for women. I didn't know that existed. So they basically fill out questions and then your prescription arrives, your FDA-controlled prescription. It's no different than going, you know, online. People have been ordering stuff online from India for years, you know, going on and ordering everything from antibiotics to you name it. They can order online and get through India. There's, you know, those of you that don't know this, but a huge, huge percentage of American pharmaceutical stuff is basically made in India, a huge amount of it. And it's, of course, it's got a label, you know, but it's been actually produced over there. So that's why India is such a hub of, you know, being able to go online and quote unquote order stuff. So, you know, again, you run your own risk of dealing with the customs, okay? And border, and they come through and that stuff gets looked at and you've got a controlled substance there. Depending on what it is, you know, you could go to jail. Just fair warning there. But anyway, limited doctor interaction on these sites. So what do you guys think of this? And, you know, I think, though, if they had it where it's like you actually talk to a doctor, a real doctor, you come up and did a video thing back and forth and, you know, talked about your ED issue if you had one. And, you know, the lady's talking about whatever. Why wouldn't that work? As long as it's a licensed physician, he agrees you've got an issue. But usually that stuff, you know, don't be afraid to tell your doctor you got a problem. You know, I'm pretty, when I talk to my doctor, I'm pretty open about everything. Because, you know, I really do want to make sure that I live till I'm old. If something's, you know, if I got an issue, hey, can we check this? Can we check that? Or I have that or this, or I felt this or I felt that. Don't be afraid. That's what they're there for. And I know we have a specific doctor in the house. I don't know if he's listened to the show today. So one of our favorite doctors. And I don't know if he's in China right now or if he's back in down in the French Quarter or not. But anyway, everyone, thanks for being here. As always, don't forget about our Insider program. If you want to consider helping the show out with a $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 donation per month or one-time donation, you can do that at geeknesscentral.com/insider. Of course, we've got our great sponsor, GoDaddy. Don't forget about them at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. If you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Now, here's the dealio. I'm out for the next two shows. Kirk is up, and he's got the helm. He's running the next two episodes, so he's back in the firing line. He's got a few more episodes underneath his belt on his show. So, again, we're turning the reins over to Kirk for a couple of episodes while I'm in Vegas doing the National Association of Broadcasters show, where I'm going to be running like 15, 16 hours a day. If you are in Vegas and you are coming to NAB, we're at the Podcast Pavilion. We want you to come and say hello to us, say hi, and we've got some swag. If nothing else, just come by and say hello. If we see you afterwards, we'll buy you a drink. You know, if we're out at the bar, we're staying at the Flamingo. So if anybody's in town, that's the kind of the general area that my team will be at. And we do have some evening events, of course. But just drop me an email, or that's probably the best way. But again, if you're going to be out in Vegas for the show, or if you are just in Vegas, I'd be happy to hang out. And, you know, Friday is usually kind of the show is over and getting packed up to go home. Feel free to give a shout out and we can meet up and have a few cold ones. But that's it. We're going to get everyone out of here. Thank you for being part of the hunt. I will see you back here. Matter of fact, there may be a new roof on my house, or the roof might be tore off. I've signed a contract for a roof replacement, and it's supposed to start on the 15th. And so we're excited about that. It's a long time coming. And then what's left is a garage door replacement. So I'm about ready to sign a contract there. And then we got to paint a house. So leaving things ship shape here before I depart from Michigan, so that there's no worries on the home while Shoko and Chris and the rest of the gang hang out here in the meantime. All right, everyone, thanks for being here. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show. Geeknews@gmail.com. We'll see you back a week from Monday. And again, two episodes here. Then I go to Columbus, where I'll be producing the show there. So everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.